Speaker for the afternoon is Greg Trevors, and he's going to join us and talk about digital literacy and how that can be applied to the dissemination of knowledge. Greg.
So, scientific insights into our world have never been as necessary as they are today. However, new ways of communicating science knowledge present a double-edged sword, especially online. On the one hand, now more than ever, science knowledge is widely accessible. On the other hand, it is now commonplace to be exposed to unskilled skepticism of science that undermines our understanding of it. We are left to wade through complex, evolving, and controversial information. The end result is many urgent questions without many actionable answers. Are we causing our climate to change? Are children safer if we forego vaccinations? How should we teach evolution in schools? If we fail to address these questions, we may cause serious and irreversible harm to our society. I contend that one potential response to these complex issues is to strengthen Canadians' digital literacy skills, and in particular, strengthen the ways we evaluate or prepare students to evaluate between valuable and spurious knowledge, as well as real and fabricated controversies. So as educational psychologists, we look at the psychological constructs and processes underlying learning from various contexts and across the lifespan. The context I look at is how individuals learn about complicated, conflicting documents, like the ones presented here, on socio-scientific issues like evolution, climate change, and GMOs, which individuals often encounter online in the forms of news articles, blog posts, and message forums. So in this research, I focus on one aspect of digital literacy, specifically individuals' personal beliefs about the nature of knowledge and the nature of knowing. We find that how successful individuals are from learning from this conflicting information is affected by their prior beliefs. In particular, individuals may believe that science knowledge is composed of answers that are either simple or complex, or derived via personal experience or expert opinion. To see how this all fits together, let's look at an example. So imagine if you wanted to learn about whether or not to get your child vaccinated, and you want to know, are vaccines safe? So for most people, that begins here, which likely brings up several links and ads, like the search results shown here. First, notice that we have to contend with 33 million other people's opinions. Then the search results present conflicting evidence and conflicting conclusions. The first is an advertisement that says unequivocally vaccines are not safe. The second is a website from the Canadian government that says unequivocally vaccines are safe. The third claims that we should be suspicious of the CDC. The fourth says that the medical professions deceive the public. And the fifth is another Canadian website, again, supports vaccine safety. So presented here is a complex, uncertain situation requiring active processing of diverse evidence and expertise. However, individuals may come to the situation believing that knowledge they're seeking is simple, absolutely right or wrong, and they'll likely gravitate towards passively accepting those sources that already confirm their personal opinions rather than privileging expert sources or applying the rules of inquiry. These two ends represent a continuum of how science knowledge or science epistemology can be viewed. Misalignment between the epistemic nature of the context and individuals' personal epistemic beliefs may undermine their ability to make informed decisions on their understanding of science. So how do we get from one end to the other? We can cultivate this aspect of digital literacy with students if we explicitly highlight ambiguity and varied interpretations in science, but paired with supports for students to help them to develop skills to find explanations, to decide what counts as scientific evidence, and to evaluate sources critically. So ultimately, we seek to empower individuals to make informed decisions on issues of personal and global significance. And we can do this by focusing on the real nature of interconnected knowledge societies when we help students develop a strong epistemic stance on dealing with controversial knowledge, particularly found online. In our research, we're getting closer to this goal, but we're not there yet. The urgency of the issues we face, though, means that we can't go without leadership on this area of education. We can move forward if we're not afraid to dive into controversial knowledge, and Canada can thrive when we learn how to make sense of complex, evolving, and diverse information. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Greg. Do we have questions for Greg? I have lots of questions for Greg if no one else does. Marty?
I was pleased to hear you say that you think we're getting closer.
Yeah.
I want to know what makes you believe that?
we're getting better at, I think before we were looking at single documents, single texts, and not really taking into consideration of what challenges people have to face. And now we're getting better at trying to replicate bringing in more ecological validity in our research. So presenting views that are varying quality. And so I think we're getting better at trying to study, in controlled ways, but also ways that are more ecologically valid than they have been in the past.
You mean we, the academic community, or we, society?
I don't know how well we're preparing students in educational systems in society to evaluate sources, no. I think oftentimes we're presenting single textbooks and single teachers presenting single views, and so that's a straightforward march of facts without really talking about the constructive debates scientists actually have to get to those facts. And then oftentimes in media we're getting fabricated controversies, so we're giving equal airtime to different opinions in the sense that they're supposed to be equal weight when the evidence isn't there for them. So no, I don't think we're doing a good enough job in terms of, in the educational system of preparing students, but I think we're learning how better to do that.
So I also have a quick question, maybe. Many people that I know tend to view me as their local scientist, but very rarely do people actually come to ask me about the validity of some idea or premise. They're confident, sometimes justifiably, sometimes not, in their ability to wade through the first 10 hits on the Google search and determine their opinion. The time that I find that's very interesting and valuable is many people I know who have children who are less than 10 are uncomfortable telling their opinion to their child. They would like to check with me first to make sure that they're telling their child something that is true.
Yeah.
That means that they actually have an idea that what they know may not be true, and they want to check it. Mm-hmm. How can we go about teaching people how to vet their own ideas, how to actually truly be confident in their ideas, and at the same time ensure that their ideas are actually supported with the information that is in the literature?
I guess one thing to do is maybe start off with acknowledging that some ideas we have are misconceptions, and those can be fallible. Starting off with an awareness that that's always a possibility. From that, we can help students develop the skills to, or individuals develop the skills to be able to check those misconceptions against evidence that's available to them. Wading through 10 hits on Google is probably better than average. Most people don't, I don't think, go that far. But if there's an issue that they care about, obviously they will. Checking to see if there's contradictions in the evidence that they think they understand versus what's being presented to them during the search, trying to find ways to align that. That's one, I think, crucial skill, is when you notice discrepancy and how do you move beyond that discrepancy. So having students or having individuals have that skill, finding ways to reconcile discrepancies, probably is a good starting step for that.
Thank you. We have another question.
I really was impressed with your talk, and I was just curious at what level you foresee this being included in terms of education. Is this something that you foresee as a part of McGill's culture of learning within the university context, or would you imagine this is something that you'd like to see maybe people taking in the education department, that they're starting with younger children? When do you think it is appropriate to introduce these kinds of ideas?
I feel like there's no time. We can start this really early on. We can start this in the K-12 system, helping students to be aware that the things they hear have fallibility, that there's information that we can trust, and there's information that, when it's discrepant, we can look at, how do we resolve that discrepancy? So I feel like even presenting to elementary students the fact that there's maybe multiple perspectives on a single idea. We have, for instance, texts that show or human-caused climate change, starting off with that and then showing that there could be natural causes of climate change, and then they can weigh the evidence for and against this. That could be a project that we can begin in elementary science classes. We don't have to wait until university to start weighing sources and critically evaluating sources.
Please join me in thanking Greg.